Reverend Goodwin will bring us the evening message.
Jeremiah. Port to the stage.
Enjoyed that. We have another special tonight. We have some more special music, and we're going to have three young people. Go ahead and come on up, Russell, Joseph, Caitlin. I had the privilege of being their pastor for several years, and when they first started coming to the church over there where I was pastoring at the time, these guys were probably this tall, and not anymore, and they're bigger than I am. But they had sung a special over at Maranatha the other day. I think it was last Sunday. And so they were going to be coming over this evening. And they're going to sing for you the same song.
Complete in thee, no work of mine. May take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me. And I am now complete in thee. Ye justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete in thee, no more shall sin. Thy grace hath conquered, reign within. Thy voice shall bid the tempter flee, and I shall stand complete in thee. Ye justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete in thee, each one supplied, and no good things to denied. Since thou my portion, Lord, will be, I ask no more complete in thee. Be justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Dear Savior, when before thy bar tribes and tongues assembled are, among thy chosen all shall be at thy right hand complete in thee. He justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be.
Philippians chapter 2 this evening. We were in chapter 3 this morning, and chapter 2, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 4. If you just follow along as I read, it says in verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You know, the holidays are a time of joy, a time of rejoicing, thanksgiving, misty-eyed memories, reunions, for us for so many reasons. But you know, what's interesting is, and I believe it's because of family, giving, the birth of Christ, we have some unique traditions and blessings that we celebrate. But in the world, for many people this time of year, holidays, it's a time of loneliness for some people. It's a time of sorrow and even heartache. And I believe because of that, we're just going to look through some scriptures tonight. Because of that, it's an opportunity, a time of opportunity for you and for me to make a difference in the lives of others. I was just talking with a man the other day in the gym, and he made the comment. I asked him how he was doing. He said, well, I'm doing really well. I have a lot to be thankful for. He said, but you know, this is a time of depression. And he had seen some people already. And I want to preach to you a message tonight, something to live for. Something to live for. I just want to challenge you. Just to consider our Christian life. Have a perspective, and then have something to live for. Let's pray. Dear Lord, please help us this evening as we look at what your word says, just to take stock of who we are and what we have in you. And dear Lord, I pray that you would just give us perspective tonight. Something to live for tomorrow. In your name I pray. Amen. We're there in Philippians chapter 2, and this is kind of just checking our focus. The focus here in the first four verses is to think of others more than self. To think of others more than self. Now, this is not a proof text for being lonely, for being nosy. Okay, when it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others, it's not telling you to be nosy or spiritually nosy, okay? We're to examine our own lives. If when you come to church, if the first thing that comes to your mind and the last thing when you leave is how much you wish so-and-so was here because they really needed that message, all right, we may need to adjust our focus, all right? That's spiritual nosiness. Man, God, that was a great message. They just weren't here to hear it. It's a pity, you know? Listen, God, the Holy Spirit communicates on a personal level, and he indwells you. You must respond and tend to your spiritual life if you're going to grow. And every commandment from the Scripture is a personal commandment. God wants you to take it internally. The first thing God wants us to do with any truth is to obey it personally. But this passage, I believe, has to do with the word compassion. It is a proof text for compassion. In the book of Jude, the scripture says, some having compassion, making a difference. Compassion is biblical love. It's love in action. I've said it before. You've heard me say it before. I'll say it again. Bible love is never described in how it makes you feel, but in how it makes you behave. If you look all through the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, you know what you'll find? You'll find actions. You won't find feelings. True love is not full of feelings. It's full of behavior. The love of God is obedience on others' behalf. And in fact, if you look at verse 1, the basis for commanding compassion is all that we find in Christ. He says, if there be any consolation in Christ, that's comfort regarding life and eternity. Is there comfort in the truth of Jesus Christ regarding life and eternity? Is there, church? Yes. He says, also, if any comfort of love. To love and to be loved is a great encouragement. We find true love, unconditional love in our relationship with Christ and with other believers. There's comfort in that. If any fellowship of the Spirit, that instant joy you enjoy when all those who are indwelt by the Spirit and in tune with God, when you are with them, you enjoy that fellowship. If any bowels and mercies, if there's any good in you, okay, that moves with compassion and mercy. This is what we have from God. From God, and God gives it to us, and God desires to do this through us. He says in verse 2, he encourages us to mirror the good we find in Christ. We ought to be unified in this. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love. That which you have from God, you are to have towards others. Be of one accord, one of mind, he says. The church ought to care for one another as Christ did. And our love for others will be affected by the focus of our heart. Look at verse 3. By what we focus on. Verse 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Well, how do I do that? Well, because we look not every man on our own things. We're not so focused on our own self, but on the things of others. The scripture says in Lamentations, mine eye affecteth my heart. That which we focus on, look at, and not just our eye, but our mind and our heart and our intentions, it affects the desires of our heart. It influences our thoughts and it influences our heart. Companies really know that. That's why catalog distribution goes on, overtime around Christmas time. When they want to sell more stuff, they pump out more magazines. I get electronic advertisements in my email inbox. I go to Harbor Freight and they always say, did you get your latest update in the email? You know why they do that? Because they're trying to sell more stuff. If they can push more images and push more advertisements, it affects your focus. It affects your heart. The commercial world knows that. You know, the desires of your heart that you nurture are the ones that will grow. Sometimes we see things in other people and we wish we would be like, oh, they're such a compassionate person. I just wish I could be more compassionate. They're such a gracious person. I wish I could be more gracious. They're so kind. I wish I could be more. Do you know wishing doesn't make you more kind? The things that you nurture are the things that will grow. Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes. He looked upon them and he saw them in their need. It says when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion upon them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And he saw their need and was moved with compassion. It touched his heart. And when we allow ourselves to see others as Christ did, it will affect our heart. Look not every man on his own things. Don't be so self-centered. We say that to our kids. Stop being so self-centered. Children come into this world acting like the world revolves around them. And they grow up that way. And if they never grow, they'll become self-centered adults. Self-centered adults aren't cute anymore. Self-centered children are cute. We can put up with them. Self-centered adults are insufferable. And self-centered Christians do a disservice to the cause of Christ. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Our focus ought to be the needs of others. You know why God told us this? Because it goes against human nature. We tend to focus on our needs, our burdens, our pains. You know, they've said before, major surgery is surgery that's done on my body. Minor surgery is done on your body. Major surgery is on my body. Because it's self. We tend to focus on our own desires, our own agenda, our own convenience, our own temperature settings. Pastor, it's uncomfortable in here. To who? To me. You know. By the way, if you said something about the temperature, I'm not judging you, okay? I know there are folks all over the temperature spectrum. I understand that. But we tend to focus on our sleep. Our nature focuses on our preservation and our self-promotion. But God wants us to live such that we are moved by Him to focus on others' preservation and others' promotion. And you know, just taking the next step, we are to have compassion on others, and it's a way to change the world. We are living in a critical time. Now, every generation says this, and it is true. But we're living in the end times. Every student of Scripture need not look very far to know that we're living in the last days. Sin abounds, false doctrine abounds, faithlessness abounds, and so too sorrow abounds. Emptiness. But God has left us here to change the world. Turn over to Jude and look what it says there in the book of Jude, right before the book of Revelation, right before the end. A short book written to encourage the church against false doctrine and encourage the church to act proactively. Look at verses 20 through 23. Now, he's already warned them about everything that's going to happen in the last days. He says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God." This is some personal spiritual maintenance. In response to what's going on in the world, the slide, the compromise that we see, the evil and the wickedness, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. But don't just tend yourself. Of some having compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We are called to live in a world, to maintain ourselves, but to be a change in the world. You know, there's three observations regarding the struggles of life that make holidays difficult. Holidays are difficult for people. I was thinking about it. One observation is this. Your struggles and sorrows are not unique. Why does that make it difficult for the world? Because that means if you're going through it, guess what? Other people are going through it. If you know the scripture verse, say it with me. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is as common to man. If you're struggling with sorrow, somebody else is. You might be here tonight. You say, "Pastor, you're talking about the world out there struggling with things. I'm struggling with something internally." Yes, that means other people are as well. That's why, you know, in college or in academic setting, they say no question is a stupid question. I've heard some people push the line on that one, okay? Just saying. You know why they say that? Because typically if you have a question that you want to ask, somebody else has it too. Nothing, it's all common to man. Loneliness, burdens, regret, worry. I think that's one reason why holidays have a lot of sorrow is because we look back with nostalgia at our life and we see our errors. And we have regret. You can't change those things. We have guilt. We have need. And if you have it, the world has it too. That's an observation, is that your problems are not unique. But the second observation is that our support in the midst of struggle is unique. The world does not have it. You have sorrow and the world has sorrow. But you know what the psalmist said? He said, "The Lord is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me." That's unique. Does the world have that? No, they don't. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Can the world say that? No. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can the world say that? No. So while we go through struggles, while we go through problems, while we do have regret and worry and guilt, they don't have the help that we do. See, our support is unique and our blessings from God are unique. You know, whatever the blessing you have that makes holidays special, the lack of that same blessing causes pain for others. Sometimes people will see somebody having joy and it reminds them that they don't have that. You're thankful for family. Like Brother Joe said, you're still thankful for family. Praise God for that. But you know what? Some people have a loss of family. They have separation. Holidays reminds them of that. Friends. Some people don't have friends. We have blessings from God and they have loss. We have victory and they experience defeat. We have thankfulness and they experience regret. We have answers to prayer. If you're praying frequently, you should, you ought to, but there's no hope for many. There are gifts that were given to us by God and some people, and you know, we give gifts to those that we love, and others look at that and they have no money for even basic needs. We have shelter, electricity, dry clothes, and some don't have that. We have Christ. We celebrate the birth of Christ, an eternity-changing event for you and for me. That means nothing to some people. You realize how empty Christmas would be without Jesus Christ? The only reason you realize that is because you have Him. You know, for some this holiday, they'll find happiness, but they'll find it by escaping into a bottle of alcohol, spiked eggnog, maybe dopamine high of shopping. But you know what? That all fails. There are some observations. Our struggles are not unique. Our support is, and our blessings from God are. And you know what? I believe there's three ways that we as Christians can have an impact. To have compassion on others. Of some having compassion making a difference. Can I make a difference? Yes, you can. Yes. Yes, you can. I think the first way is to seek for opportunities to encourage others. Seek for opportunities. The scripture says in Ephesians chapter 4, let no corrupt communication proceed forth out of your mouth. Oh my goodness, if we could take that in. There is so much corrupt communication. That doesn't just refer to unkind language, but that means things that we say that corrupt other people. Like was shared this morning in Sunday school, Amnon had a friend who corrupted him. Corrupt communication. Set a guard before your lips. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. We ought to encourage others with a kind word. John 1:14 says this of Jesus, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace. That's what Jesus, He was marked by a life and a message and a conversation that was full of grace and truth. This holiday season, this Christmas time, it's interesting, some people are cringe when you say, you know, Merry Christmas, and they say, well, what about people who don't believe in Jesus? Tell them Merry Christmas anyway, okay? They can say Happy Holiday, Holy Day, okay? They'll say Holy Day. I don't know how that's any different than Merry Christmas, but you can still encourage them. Don't be obnoxious about it, okay? We will, but it says that full of grace, our language, our words should be full of grace and full of truth. You know, we're always going to be surrounded by both good and evil while we're in this world. Choose to draw attention to the good. Instead of griping about the evil. Instead of complaining about the evil, draw attention to the good in this world. The good has the power to change. The grace and truth. You know, Christ changed the lives of so many by His words because they were full of truth. His words were full of grace and truth. Sometimes we want to speak truth that's not gracious because it does make us feel good. We like to have a validation for being ornery sometimes. Okay, maybe I do. We want to be ornery and we want to feel validated about it. Well, it's true. You know, I'll chew on this. All right, fine. Okay, there's a time for that. But let's be gracious the majority of the time, and you can speak the truth at the same time. I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking, but our speech should draw the focus of the world to the one whose birth we celebrate. That is positive. That's gracious. You know, we have the promise of prayer. That's gracious. The hope for eternity. Sharing what you are thankful for. Lifting up, complimenting, encouraging through uplifting speech. And you can do that with anyone that is not threatening, Christian. But what if they don't believe in God? All of those things I just mentioned, they don't have to believe in God to be edified. You share the grace of God with others, and it will impact them. You know, the book of Proverbs says, "A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is." Wow. When you go out, look for someone who needs encouragement. You'll find them. The overworked cashier. This is a great time for you to get good deals. It's a great time for them to get griped at. People in customer service need more Christians to be gracious to them. Don't be a Christian who's like, you know, rah, 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 and chewing at them, and then you're like, come to our church. You know, don't invite them to somebody else's church if you're going to be grouchy, okay? One down the road. Seek opportunities to encourage. Encouraging with a kind word. I think secondly is helping bear burdens. There are folks who bear real burdens, and it's not just, you have more than an opportunity. Sometimes people, you come into contact with them, and all you have an opportunity for is just a word. Use it. But if you have an opportunity to bear a burden, the Bible commands that. I didn't say suggests it. I said commands it. The Scripture says in Galatians chapter 6, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Is that a commandment or a suggestion? It's a commandment. You say, "Pastor, I don't know about that. I have burdens too." Well, if you have burdens, other people do. Well, how am I, you know, burdens like a need for someone to listen, loss of job, hunger, regret, no hope for eternity. There are many different things that go through people's minds. How can you help bear one another's burdens? Well, I want to challenge you. God the Holy Spirit, who wrote this word and commands us to do it, can help you to do it. Maybe you're not naturally a compassionate person, okay? Some people are, some people are less. Some people are more direct. You say, "Pastor, I don't beat around the bush. I just say things how I see them." Okay, well, that can be edifying. Just, you got to tune your instrument a little bit, okay? Allow the Holy Spirit to use you. Sometimes they need that truth. Give it in love. But ask the Holy Spirit to give you eyes of love and compassion for others. Be willing to sacrifice for the good of others. Now you might be asking, how can I help someone else when I have burdens myself? That's a good question. But let me remind you, if you're a believer, you're not supposed to be carrying your burdens alone. You have someone to help you. God can help you. The Lord is my shepherd. Does the world have that? No, they don't. They don't have an internal guide. They don't have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. The God that calls you to do this can strengthen you to do this. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." In fact, sometimes what we need to pull out of a discouraging time is to help others who are in a discouraging time. Many counselors will say that, you know, if you're going through depression or going through sorrow, that helping somebody else in the midst of that will pull you out of it. It's amazing. God's commanded us to do it, and when we do it, it's good for us. The world doesn't have what we do. Help bear burdens. Seek for opportunities to encourage, and then share the gift of Christ. Take your Bible and turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at verse 7. "But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." Your love for others, active sacrificial good, is a way to overcome your imperfections. you're imperfect, I'm imperfect, join the club, here we are, okay? But fervent charity for others overcomes that. What has God given you through Jesus Christ? What has he given you? Think about that. He's given you forgiveness. Can you give that to someone else this holiday season? Extend forgiveness. Maybe you're here tonight and you've been withholding forgiveness to a family member or someone. Remember, in Ephesians chapter 4, when we're told to forgive, it says, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's the extent. That's the way. That's the manner. If God has forgiven us, we ought to forgive others. He's given you adoption. I think of the church family as a way of adopting people. We have people come into the church family and they join. And by the time folks join independent, we kind of treat them like family anyway. This is family. I don't know if you feel that way. I do. Adoption into the family. Take somebody under your wing. God's adopted you. Take somebody under your wing this Christmas season. Seek to influence them. Pray. Maybe it's a younger person. Maybe it's a younger Christian. Maybe it's somebody who just needs a good influence or a good role model in their life. Now, you have to be a good role model, okay? But pray for God to give you that opportunity, that window of opening. God's given you a home in heaven. He's given you answered prayers. So many things that we can't name them all. In turn, give those to the world around you. Look at verse 9. Exercise kindness. It says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Without grudging. It's interesting. I believe that maybe God knows us, that if he commands us to do things, we might do so grudgingly. We might give our offering grudgingly. The preacher said, if I don't give my offering, God's going to take it. My tire's going to go flat or my car's going to break down. I might as well give my tithe. Got to use hospitality, but I really don't want these people in my house messing stuff up. I wish they'd leave. No, it says use hospitality. In other words, be genuine. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Verse 10, as every man hath received the gift. What gift? Well, he's gifted you in a number of different ways. I look around the church tonight, and I see folks who are gifted in very diverse ways, but in very definite ways. We have some jewels here. Many different ways. In wisdom, in education, in capabilities, in sensitivity. Very capable people. Praise God for you. And you know what? God expects you to use that. To whom much is given, much is required. Even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Be a good steward of God's grace. God's grace is so abundant that we can only be truly a good steward by sharing it with others. To what extent? Well, let the Holy Spirit lead you. To whom? In what ways? To what extent? Be others-minded. You know what? You say, well, Pastor, what about sharing the gospel with others? I guarantee you, if you do these things, it's going to open doors for you to share the gospel, and people will listen. They'll listen. The world, God's word is powerful. You share the gospel, it's going to connect with people's hearts. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's in the Bible. Amen. I believe that. But we have a world that is so fed up with commercialism and sound bites and tweets that they're tired of Twitter Christians and tweets here and tweets there. The world is looking for genuine people. When you love people, there's a window into their lives. And they'll listen to the message of Christ. Some having compassion, making a difference. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray, God, that you would help us. I thank you for our church, for the love that is here one for another. And I pray, God, that you would just work through us. Love others through us. Lord, I do know that we have all different folks here with all different challenges and things going on in their life and maybe some burdens here tonight, maybe some sorrow, maybe some struggle. We don't want to minimize that. Lord, I do pray that you would just comfort them as only you can. We know, dear Lord, that you do that, and I pray that you would do that in a special way tonight. I pray, God, also that you would help us to realize the tremendous opportunity that we have during the holiday season just to be a blessing to other people, that we would be ministers and stewards of your grace, speaking edifying words. Dear Lord, just bring us into contact with people. Open our eyes that we might see the discouragement around us. Help us to speak the truth in love and in grace. I pray, God, that you would help us to actively bear one another's burdens, and even beyond this church. And I pray, God, that you would help us in whatever capacity you've gifted us to serve more fully, that we can impact the world around us. In your name I pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed? If God's spoken to your heart tonight, talk to the Lord. Thank you.